Johnny's calling about visualization. Johnny? Yeah, is this Johnny?
Yeah, John.
Oh, great.
Yeah, hi. Welcome
back.
Do you
hear me?
We lost you. I can hear you fine. We lost you there for a minute.
All right, man. Nice hearing you. You know, you started talking about sleep apnea, and my own doctor has suggested. When you had sleep apnea before you were tested, did you think or know you had it?
Yeah, I did because I snored like you could not possibly imagine, and then I'd just stop, and then I'd start again, and that's really what
because
what
I've always been. I know you grew up in metropolitan New York, and I was always listened to Barry Gray and Long John Neville. I always was up at night, and I don't think I have. I mean, I'm overweight, and I may have sleep apnea, but I don't feel it. I may very well have it. And if you know, for people who don't have insurance, what's something like that cost to have a sleep study done?
I don't know what the sleep study costs without insurance, but I know the machine costs about $2,000, and I think you can rent it.
Really?
Yeah. But
wow.
Let me just put it in perspective.
Go ahead.
If you do have sleep apnea,
yeah.
Not only you're tired, and so if you're tired, you can't exercise, you can't move around, but you also, when you're tired, you crave junk food.
Right.
So you're craving sweets, but something else happens. Your cortisol levels get elevated, and elevated cortisol levels are the same thing that happened when you're in a famine. So you're shifting your set point toward fatter and fatter and fatter all the time. You're activating your fat programs. You're not sleeping, and you're craving junk food. It's like a recipe for disaster. So when you put it in perspective, there's really, if you do have sleep apnea, there's really nothing more important, nothing more crucial than getting that sleep apnea taken care of if you want to lose weight. Otherwise, it's like you're driving with the emergency brake on because you're fighting cravings. Your body wants to be fatter. It's shifting its set point toward fatter because of the cortisol. And you can give anybody, you know, they've done studies with mice where they give them cortisol, and the more cortisol they give them, the fatter they get. People that unfortunately have to take cortisol medication for some sort of condition, they gain weight. There's nothing you can do about it. It activates your fat programs because it makes your body think you're in a famine. Because that's what happens when you're in a famine. Your cortisol levels get elevated. So,
I got two quick questions. You say that when you were a kid, you were thin and in shape and stuff like that.
In my
20s, for those of us who, that's not true. I mean, it's always been a challenge for me. And is that significant in terms of, I don't know, in terms of what, but you know, I never really was a skinny kid.
It's significant in terms of understanding what your specific situation is. Now, just to give you a little bit of background, I was a skinny kid, but I grew up in a dieting family, in a kind of a family that was overweight and focused on dieting. When I was about 10, from 10 to 13, I had a weight problem. My brother had a serious weight problem. He was when he was 12, he was 220 pounds or 100 kilos. And they sent us to fat camp, which was well-intentioned type of thing, but it set up this whole kind of dieting mentality. By the time I was in my 20s, I was really done with the issue and was sort of effortlessly thin. So I did have a little bit of that experience growing up. But what you really have to do is you have to go back to, like, I would ask you, let me ask you a couple of questions. First of all, how much weight are you looking to lose?
100 pounds.
Okay, more. And how long have you had that weight on you?
Oh, man, I guess a very long time, but I've always been very successful at losing it. It comes back on, you know, it's all a blur, man, but I'm very heavy now. I mean, I've been carrying, I may be heavier than I've ever been. I'm 54 years old than I've ever been. I mean, everything seems to have just backed up on me.
Okay, now when you say as a kid, like how early as a kid were you, what was the first time you remember being overweight as a kid?
Oh, I guess 12, 13.
Okay, 12, 13. Like, so what was your life like when you were 12, 13? Was it stressful? Was there anything that happened that you can remember back then?
Anything in particular? I mean, I had, you know, middle class suburban New York suburban life. The stresses were silly stresses. I had everything I ever wanted, really.
Okay, was there any, like any kind of divorce, separation? Anyone died? Did someone beat you up? Like, were
no?
Any,
I mean, no.
You
no,
schools?
I mean,
did
you know,
bullied?
I,
were the bullies like?
No, I it seemed to go along pretty well. I'm an expressive guy, creative guy. I had good friends to this day. Many friends that we still stay in touch, and it just. I know I'm not being helpful here, John, but I've always been like an independent and creative, and so life was always kind of stressful. You know, I've always been like not a joiner. I've worked myself for decades at this point. Always struggled. To this day, I struggle. So.
Okay.
It's always been.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Was it stressful back then when you were 12, you know, 10, 12? Did life start to get a little bit stressful back then?
In terms of the weight or just generally?
Just general, school or whatever pressures the kids have.
I suppose, yeah. You know, I had stresses, yeah.
All right, well, let's just do this then. For now, I want to let's keep in touch on my email, but I'd like you to listen to the CD twice a day, like around 4 o'clock. Do you get hungry around 4 o'clock? Okay, so before you get hungry, what I want you to do is I want you to eat something real.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I say real, something that's either got live food, omega-3s, or protein. Eat something real.
Okay.
Listen to the CD at 4 o'clock, okay? And I want you to listen to the CD at night, and I want you to get checked for sleep apnea. Make sure you have a really good breakfast because there's an issue of blood sugar here that I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
So, and next week we'll talk about blood sugar and how to regulate your blood sugar and how important it is to regulate your blood sugar. So we'll talk about that next week. But listen to the CD, get checked for sleep apnea.
I have on that order, and I promise I'll be really quick. What if I told you that I'm a lifelong meditator and I do meditate every day?
Yeah.
When your thing does it fit?
I would say you have a tremendous advantage then, because if you're in a deep meditative state and you create a visual image of how you'd like to look, it's going to be very powerful for you.
And along those lines, and not just to stay on, but it's connected to that, and I think it's salient, and I totally buy what you're doing and your book, but please address this, and I know you can relate to it because you come from a major urban center, and that is, I know that all this makes sense. How do I be not, you know, how do I buy it? How do I own it? How do I not be negative? I mean, how did you first buy that? If you visualize that you can accomplish
I'm
it,
answer,
it seems so
okay,
counterintuitive.
John, I'm going to answer that question for you. Okay.
Go ahead.
The answer to that question is you have nothing to lose. See, what I did was I decided that I was going to look everywhere and I was going to try everything. And I wasn't going to wait for science to put its stamp of approval on it. I was going to try it because I was desperate. And I figured, what's the worst I have to lose? I'm spending 10 minutes creating a vision of my future. If I'm wrong, the worst-case scenario is I get into a relaxed state. If I'm right, I've got something tremendously powerful that I've unlocked that I can tap into to use for any aspect of my life. So I've always taken the approach that everything's true until proven false for me. And I went out and tried everything until I decided, no, that doesn't work, but that does work. And I don't care why it works. No one's going to know why visualization works because we can't even track thoughts. We don't even know where thoughts come from. Some people say thoughts don't even come from our head, that our heads are just transistors. So we can't track thoughts. We don't know where they come from. We can't prove the visualization works. I don't need to prove it because I know that I look exactly the way I visualize it. And so I'm out there saying, hey, I tried something. It works. Try it. Worst case scenario is you wasted 10 minutes of your day doing something that's kind of relaxing. That's
right.
The worst case scenario. So that to me is a good risk reward scenario. Anyway, John, I'm going to have to take one more
call.
All right,
man. Thanks, John.